36 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever." Let us celebrate the strength and presence of our God as we begin today's worship and song. Let us all sing forever together.
Thank you. Our last song, it speaks of a desire for Christ to be the center of one's life. It talks about, over every word, may my life reflect the beauty of my Lord. Let's join our voices and our hearts in praising our Lord. Please stand and sing, Lord, Reign in Me. Your church meeting together in your presence. We welcome each other and we welcome you. Make yourself known to us through our worship, our prayers, and our understanding of your word today. Amen.
Good morning and welcome to First Reformed Church. I want to say thank you to the praise team for starting us off in a lively fashion and getting us going this morning. Also, happy Father's Day to all fathers who are in attendance this morning. It's a great opportunity to get together and recognize what it means to be a father and what fathers mean to our families and as we raise our kids. So with that, let's start off with the Father's Day litany, which is in your bulletin, and we'll read that responsively. Blessed are you, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, wellspring of all generations. For Adam, father of humanity, for Moses, who heeded the Lord's commands and trusted his promises. Today, Lord, we give thanks for fathers near, fathers with strong arms, and fathers with feeble knees, fathers present at the table, in the bathtub, and at bedtime prayers. We thank you for fathers far away, fathers who ache for their families, fathers absent because of war or disease or hardship. But on this day, especially set aside for fathers, we pour out our gratitude to you, our Heavenly Father.
Who loves us, sustains us, protects us, provides us the perfect model of fatherhood, and that by sin
To you, Heavenly Father, be all praise, glory, and honor, world without end. Amen. There's a few announcements in the bulletin this morning. First of all, please remember Don Lucas, Bernita Coima, Jody Kerner, who continue their chemotherapy. Also, Sue Feltis, who had surgery this week, is recovering, and she's with us this morning. So glad to see her here as well, and continue to pray for her as she continues in her process. Pastor Dave is undergoing the stem cell transplant process in Mayo Clinic. He's had 2 days of bad chemo. I'm not sure what exactly that means, but now he's receiving his own harvested stem cells back again, so that's good news. And again, you can get news from him on the Caring Bridge website. And Linda VanderWeerd had a sinus surgery in Sioux Falls on Monday, so we trust that she's doing fine. Elaine Tucker is our homebound member for the week to remember. Then also congratulations to James and Missy VanderWeerd on the birth of their son, Jackson Hugo, and Grandma Dory. That's right, there she is down here with a big smile on her face, so that's a wonderful thing too. Also, our sympathy to George and Bev Cotton and the death of Bev's sister, Marcia Moore, who died on Monday, June 15. So we'll continue to ask the Lord's comfort on them. And then Lindsay Vanderwall is going to have an open house graduation reception this coming Saturday on June 27 from 4 to 8 at the home of her parents north of Olga. And they will be practicing social distancing, I'm sure. Okay, would you join me in prayer, please? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful Sunday where we could come together to worship. We thank you for the opportunity to honor our fathers and what they do and their importance to families and raising kids. We thank you for being our perfect example of what a father should be. We thank you for the beautiful rain this past week and the wonderful start to the cropping season. And that's so much different from a year ago, Lord. And we thank and bless you so much for turning that around. And Lord, we think of the unrest and division in our country and in our world and all the things that are going on. It's such a strange time, as we've seen here, even in our church, with COVID-19 and all the things that are associated with that. We pray that you'd hasten its end and help us to get back to something as close to normal as possible. And at the same time, we've got political and social division that's so toxic in our country and across the world. Please change the hearts and minds of people and remind them that every person is important and that you are ultimately in control. And we ask that you would continue to remind us of that. Lord, we thank you for doctors and nurses, the police, the firemen, military people who ensure that our safety and welfare is taken care of and that we can meet like we are today without fear of persecution. We also pray for all those with special needs, the people we talked about just a little bit ago. Give them guidance and comfort and healing in whatever their situations are. And bless Pastor Frank also, as he'll, in just a few minutes, bring your message to us that we could all return home safely with a true blessing from this service. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. And at this time, we have a ministry of praise, Like a River Glorious, and it'll be by Charles Sapp and Caden Sapp, and accompanied by Jan Clapp.
Thank you. shade of care, not a blast of hurry, touch the Spirit there. Stayed up on Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised, perfect peace and rest. Every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust Him fully, all for us to do. They who trust Him wholly find Him wholly true. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised, perfect peace and rest.
Thank you so much for bringing us that wonderful message. And now, if you would, let's turn to hymn number 194, Joy to the World. And after that, Pastor Frank Vanderfeltus will be bringing our message this morning. He didn't hear me. Number 194.
Thank you. Merry Christmas from the Vanderfeltises. And happy Father's Day to all you fathers. What a beautiful day that God has given us once again to come into this sanctuary and to worship Him. We're going to be talking about joy today, so I want to see a lot of smiling faces. Lots of smiling faces. We're going to be talking about the religion of joy that Christ brought into this world. And I want to first, before I even get started on this, I want to define this word religion. It seems like religion has gotten a bad rap, I think, in today's words. When people say, I'm not religious, I'm not religious. Well, let me tell you, I'm religious. And what religion is, what being religious is, it's just the way that we worship God. And that's the definition of religion, is the way that we worship a higher power, our God. And that's what religion is. So don't ever be ashamed of saying, I'm religious, or somebody says, I'm not religious. Well, but what we're going to talk about today is the religion that Jesus brought into this world. And if you read the Bible a lot, you know that the time that Jesus came, religion was a whole lot different than what God intended for religion to be. It was a whole lot different than what God had given us to worship Him. And that's why Christ came, to forgive us for our sins, to die on the cross, but also to teach us a religion of joy. A religion of joy. We can be joyful and worship our God. So let's go to Mark chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 18 through 22. And this is when they questioned Jesus about fasting. Listen carefully what Jesus said, and I'll explain it. But just listen. Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, how is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not? Listen to what Jesus said. How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. You understand that? You understand what he's talking about, the bridegroom? I will be talking about that. No one sews the path of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, he pours new wine into new wineskins. Let's pray. Oh, holy God, thank you, Jesus, for the religion that you brought, the new religion, the new way, away from the old that these Pharisees and these religious leaders were forcing people to do. Lord, because you do bring a religion of joy. You put joy in our hearts. Guide us now as we worship you that way today, with a new joy. On this Father's Day, we lift up all the fathers to you. We thank you. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Well, this morning as we continue in Mark's gospel, again, I hope you all have sat down and read it in one sitting just to see how it flows, just to see the context that Mark was writing. And remember, Mark was writing to a group of people, the church in Rome, the church that was being persecuted so badly, and Mark was, in this passage, I believe Mark was trying to show them the joy that Jesus brings. Now, can you be joyful if you're being persecuted, if you're being in a coliseum fighting lions, and it was a horrible time. It was a horrible time for them. But Mark says, no, Jesus brings a religion of joy. And that's what Mark wanted us to know. And I hope that you will detect as we go along that there's more and more intensity in the relationship between Jesus and the religious leaders of the day, and especially the Pharisees. And each week, I think you will see as we continue in Mark's gospel, as we can continue to go along, that the confrontations be getting harder and harder, worse and worse as they go along, all the way up to the day when they were plotting Jesus' death, and all the way to the day that Jesus went to the cross. And as these religious leaders today were watching Jesus, they have some questions that they are pondering about his behavior. And the one question that they had in their mind is, why was Jesus and his sinner buddies having such a good time? Why were they partying? And why were they having such a good time? And I think Jesus here gets to place some wisdom that only Jesus could do. Jesus was very good at using stories and using metaphors to make a point. And that's what Jesus did today here. Jesus wanted them to know that basically he brings a religion of joy into the world. And of course, these sour-faced, rule-keeping Pharisees and these religious leaders, they weren't ever able to understand that joy in worshiping God. They to them, religion was a doing thing. You do. And I think you've all learned a long time ago, it's not about our doing. It's about our faith in Jesus Christ. But the Pharisees wanted to continue a religion of dull old ways to measure their conduct before God with laws and rules. And Jesus was bringing a religion of excitement and freedom and joy. Yeah, freedom. Freedom. We don't think of that too often, do we? About the freedom that we have to worship God with the joy in our hearts. And not have to follow a bunch of rules, a bunch of laws. So let's look at the religion of joy that Jesus brought. But let's first look at the religion of rules and laws that the Pharisees brought. The religious leaders of the day, they were all about rules. They were all about keeping the laws. In their mind, salvation came by following rules. They felt that the more rules that they kept, the better they looked in God's eyes and the greater their chances of being saved. Take the fasting rule. The fasting rule that they had in the Old Testament, fasting was only supposed to be done once a year on the Day of Atonement. That's what God gave us. Only one day in the Old Testament, one day, the Day of Atonement, where all Jews were to fast that day. But by Jesus' day, these guys, they were fasting twice a week. Every Monday and Thursday, they would go out on the street corners, they would put sackcloths on. Sackcloths are kind of a straw, and I don't know what they're made out of. Sackcloth, and they would put ashen on their faces and suck in their cheeks so that they would look gaunt. And they would go out on the street corners and they would just be out in the street. You know what they were trying to do? They were trying to look good before God. They were trying to impress God, if you can believe that. Somebody trying to impress God. That's what they were doing. They thought the more they impressed God, the more that they thought God would think that they were righteous. And then of course they would go to heaven. So twice a week, they would do this. They would try to impress God. How foolish is that? Well, let me tell you, folks, we do the same thing. So many of us do the same thing. There's a little bit of Pharisee in all of us at times. How often do we fall in the religion of the Pharisees? How often do we put aside our relationship with Christ, our religion of joy, to put on the ashes and sackcloth, a religion of self-denial? I grew up in the Baptist tradition. I grew up, and I remember listening to my mother. My mother, she went to an independent fundamentalist Baptist church. The one that I went to was not. But she would tell stories of the finger pointers. You know who I'm talking about? I call them the thou shalt nots. You know what I'm talking about? If you do such and such, you're not going to go to heaven. You know, some of you are shaking your heads. If you do this, you're not going to go to heaven. If you don't do that, my mother said that she had a whole bunch of rules that she had to go by. No dancing, no roller skating, no movie theaters. You know what I'm saying? That's a religion of the Pharisees, to work your way into heaven, to be a good person. Well, let me tell you, folks, you can't follow the law. You cannot be good enough. Let me repeat that. There's nobody here in this sanctuary, including me, who can be good enough to work their way into heaven. That's not what it's all about. Have you ever been guilty of putting on a religious show? Have you ever been guilty of putting on a religious show? Have you ever been guilty of depriving yourself of Christ's joy? Let me ask you this. When you come into this church on Sunday mornings, you come with a real joy in your heart? Do you have your joy in your heart when you come into this church? I think there is. I think there is part of the Pharisees' influence today. Here's what Jesus said. How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he was with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. The deal is, back in then, when a wedding, it would go on for a week sometimes. And they would be celebrating, and they would be partying, and the bridegroom was there with them. How can you fast when you have the bridegroom there and you're partying? And you're partying with Jesus, and you're having a great time, and you're celebrating the fact that he wants us to be joyful. He wants us to be joyful. He doesn't want us to follow a bunch of old stuffy laws. He doesn't want us to be somber. I do think there's some of the Pharisee influence with us today. Well, these Pharisees, they had a religion. The religious leaders, they brought a religion of rules. But guess what, folks? It doesn't work. God's not impressed. God's not impressed with it. And that's exactly what Jesus was trying to tell them in these little stories that he was telling them today. It doesn't work to sew a brand new piece of cloth on an old garment that has already shrunk. As when a piece shrinks, it would tear away from the old. And I got a problem. My clothes shrink all the time. Do your clothes shrink? But that's what Jesus was saying. And we know that wine, it goes through a fermenting process, doesn't it? And what it does, it expands. And they didn't have glass bottles in those days. They had wine skids that were bags made of goat hide. And they would sew up the legs and the neck. They would pour in the unfermented juice in it. And afterwards, the neck was sewn up, and the fermentation process would begin. And what would happen? They would expand. They would expand in these bags, and they would expand greatly. Old wineskins became brittle with age. So putting unfermented juice would break the bags, and all the bags or all the juice would be lost. Someone once said, you can't pour the idea of grace into the container of the law. Grace would break right through. Let me say that again, and I want you to think about it. You can't pour the idea of grace. What is grace? It's God forgiving us. It's God's love upon us. It's God forgiving us for our sins. You cannot pour an idea of grace into the container of the law. Grace would break right through. These guys thought that you had to follow all the laws. And they said you have to look good before God. And that's what Jesus was saying with his parable here. The religion that he was bringing into the world would in no way work with the Pharisees' religion of self-denial and rules. I think you all know that the law was not made to save us. It's not the law that saves us. It's Jesus coming that saved us. You know, I've heard this passage preached, this pericope, preached before with the idea of throwing out the Old Testament. That's what a lot of pastors preach that. But that isn't what Jesus was saying. Jesus didn't want to throw out the Old Testament. Jesus didn't want to do away with the Jewish faith. Not at all. In fact, he told us if you remember in the Sermon on the Mount, what did Jesus say in Matthew 5, verse 17? Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. What does that mean? Well, once again, you cannot be saved by the law. But Jesus came to fulfill the law. That in God's eyes, if we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are saved. So Jesus came to fulfill that law. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Christ's religion was a religion of grace and joy, and the Pharisees' religion of self-denial and laws. It wouldn't hold what Jesus brought. It wouldn't hold what Jesus brought. Jesus did not come to reform an old and worn-out system, but to fulfill and complete it through introducing something radically new. Him. And the joy that he brought. The joy that he brought into the world. Jesus himself would later be the ultimate sacrifice for sin. It was worshiping Jesus, not keeping a bunch of laws. And these religious leaders did not see that. They were not teaching that. It was about worshiping Jesus. Can you imagine if every Sunday we had to come in here and I had to stand up here and sacrifice a bunch of bulls and goats and pigeons and stuff to sacrifice for our sins? Jesus said, no more of that. Jesus says, I am he. I am the sacrifice. Confess me as your Lord and Savior. And you are saved. The Bible says that many times. I know Pastor's going through Romans right now. Romans, what a beautiful book. I preached all the way through Romans when I left my church in Michigan. Wow. Wow, Romans is terrific. And Romans talks about that. It's about Jesus. So the sacrificial system would no longer be necessary. I think there are a lot of people still in the dark, still thinking that old system of doing, and once again, pointing fingers at people. If you don't live this way, you're not going to go to heaven. Have you ever met anybody like that? That just think they got the answer? That they know how to get to heaven? I think there are still a lot of people stuck in that. There are a lot of Pharisees out there today. But folks, it's inadequate. It's an inadequate religion. It's an inadequate way to live. Two cows were grazing along a highway when a tank truck of milk on its way to the distributor happened to pass. On one side of the truck, in big red letters, was a sign that read, "Pasteurized, homogenized, standardized, vitamin A added." And one cow turned to the other and said, "Makes you feel kind of inadequate, doesn't it?" And that's what these religious leaders were bringing, a religion of inadequacy. So the next step here is, what do we do? What do we do? Well, obviously, we should follow Christ's religion of joy, shouldn't we? We should follow Christ's religion of joy. We should be upbeat, and we should recognize Jesus as the one who gives us that joy. Have you ever said to yourself, "Okay, I'll do better. I'll work harder at being a better person. I'll be a better Christian." Have you ever said that? Maybe after a really tough time in your life, or maybe after a period of sinful behavior, maybe you have said those words. Well, that's exactly what Jesus says we're not supposed to do. We're not supposed to work harder at it, folks. It's not about working harder at it. It's not like being one of the Pharisees. No matter how hard you try, you can't be good enough. Did you hear that? No matter how hard you try, you cannot be good enough. You cannot change your behavior good enough to please God. That's not what it's all about. That's the whole point of this lesson that Jesus is showing us this morning. It doesn't work. It does not work to try to change our old self. What did Jesus say in the New Testament? He said we must become a new person. We must be born again. Have you read that in the Bible where Jesus said that? Do you remember when Jesus said that? Well, he was talking to Nicodemus, a person who just happened to be a Pharisee. And Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, "What do I got to do to be saved?" And what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? He says, "I tell you the truth. No one can come to the kingdom of God unless he is born again." And what Jesus, the exact words that Jesus said, unless he is born from above. What does that mean? That means born of the Holy Spirit. So you've got to confess. The only way that you can be born again or be born of the Spirit is through Jesus Christ, to confess him as your Lord and Savior. And when you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you get the Holy Spirit. It comes with a deal. And then you will know the religion of joy. Because the Holy Spirit will fill you. And you will know you can't work your way into heaven. How many times in the Bible does it say that we have to have Jesus? Jesus is the only way. "I am the way," Jesus says. You must be born again. You must be born of the Holy Spirit. The old coat can't hold the new patch. The old container can't hold the new wine. The old self cannot hold the new life in Jesus Christ. There's some good passages in I think it's Galatians, about the new self. The new self. You become a new person in Jesus Christ. And you will know that joy. And that's what Jesus offers us. When he went to the cross, that's what it's all about, folks. Is knowing that Jesus went to the cross and knowing that Jesus loves us. To be born again and have an entirely new self in Jesus Christ, we only need to say yes to him. Say yes. Say yes to Jesus. And then guess what? You'll get to hang out with him and party with him through all eternity. I see some smiles. Isn't that great news? Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you. We thank you for what you have given us. We thank you for the religion of joy, the to know you, to celebrate that we don't have to do anything but to know you. So, Lord, I just pray that you will guide us, guide each one of us today on this Father's Day, that we will be joyful in you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, let's stand as we sing hymn number 13, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. May God bless you. May you have a great Christmas. And may you also have a great Father's Day today. And be joyful. Be joyful in knowing that Jesus is your Savior. Amen.